The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, we thank you for your word made flesh. We thank you for that word in print and in Holy Scripture. Lord, speak to us tonight from your written word of your living word. For it's in his name that we do pray it. Amen and amen. Please be seated. We open our service tonight by saying, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." And then moments ago, we sang a few verses of joy to the world, the Lord has come. And we'll close our service tonight by singing, "Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." The message is clear. Joy is foremost among the many moods of Christmas. The mood was set in the most unlikely place, the Bethlehem countryside. It was first experienced by most unlikely people, shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. It was conveyed by a most unlikely messenger, an angel from the realms of glory. And it was heralded in a most unlikely manner. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the message? Well, the message was most unlikely indeed. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. My friends, I've long believed that joy is the sure sign of the presence of God. And tonight we're gathered to joyfully celebrate the truth that our prayer, O come, Emmanuel, was answered some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And for that reason, joy is in our hearts, or at least it should be. But as we all know, Christmas is far from being joyful for some folks. Instead, their hearts ache when they hear the glorious Christmas carols being sung. Their hearts ache. We should remember tonight, in our prayers, those who find it difficult to experience any joy this Christmas. Difficult to experience joy, perhaps because of death. A chair is vacant. A loved one's voice is no longer heard. And a gentle touch will never be felt again because a dear one has gone on to be with our Father in heaven. Some know no joy this Christmas because of divorce. Homes are broken, families are separated, and children are being shuttled between parents. Disappointment steals joy from many this Christmas. A romance is suddenly over, or there's been no romance at all. Or a job's been lost. Or health issues have arisen that have cast a cloud of uncertainty over the future. Some are deprived this Christmas. Despite our generosity throughout the year, some within our community still have meager food, marginal clothing, and minuscule help and hope. And then some are despairing this Christmas. They feel defeated. They've done all they can do, and now all that's left for them is to wait and see what's going to happen. Others are robbed of joy by memories of past Christmases when things seem to be so much better. The point is, there are many this year and every year for whom Christmas is more of a burden than a joy. If you're one of them, let me welcome you by assuring you that our Lord wants you to experience joy this season. He said, here on earth you're going to have trials, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have tribulations. Here on earth you're going to have some sorrow. But cheer up. Have joy, for ultimately I have overcome the world. Note, too, that the Talmud, that great compilation of Jewish oral law, contains this statement. In the world to come, each of us will be called to account for all the good things God put on earth, which we refused to enjoy. The good things God's put on earth that we refuse to enjoy. Folks, I agree with that wisdom passed down from our ancient Hebrew ancestors. God means for us to enjoy life. And as Christians, we believe that one of the things God has put on this earth is His Son. And that God means for us to respond to His coming with joy. Now, some unbelievers think that Christianity is a wet blanket meant to steal joy from us. They think that way because they see Christians, or at least folks who call themselves Christians, living joyless lives. Christianity is not a wet blanket. The gospel is good tidings of great joy. For unto us a Savior is born, a Savior who is Christ our Lord. So this Christmas, I'm saying to all of you who are present with us in person tonight in this worship or one of the other five services that we have this evening, or the countless others of you who are joining with us online tonight and will be in the days to come. I'm saying to all of you that even if Christmas is hard to celebrate, the Lord wants us to experience the joy of His coming, for therein lies our hope. Fanny Crosby wrote many of the hymns that we love to sing. She was blinded as a baby when a doctor made a tragic mistake and gave her the wrong medicine. Her parents were understandably grieved when they thought about their little baby girl living her whole life in total darkness. But at an early age, Fanny Crosby wrote these words. She said, "Oh, what a happy soul I am. Although I cannot see, I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people do not. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, and I won't." Can you hear what that little blind child is writing? She's speaking about happiness and joy and usefulness, not because of blindness, but in spite of blindness. Dear ones, even if your heart's heavy tonight, even if your spirits are low, be of good cheer. Open up if you can and receive the joy of this special Christmas season. Now, if joy is the distinctive characteristic of Christian faith, and it is, then the obvious question is, how do we get it? I believe the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks there in the Bethlehem countryside, I believe those shepherds point us to the answer to that question. And as I see it, those shepherds found joy by doing three things. First, by seeking. After the shepherds heard the angel's announcement, they went to see. The angel had told them what had happened, when it had happened, and where it had happened. So when the heavenly choir had returned back to heaven, the shepherds turned to one another and they said, "Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened that the Lord's told us about." And off they went. Now realize, the shepherds could have stayed by their fire in stunned disbelief and done nothing. They could have run into the hills to hide out of fear. They could have gone off individually. They could have scattered, finding places where they might be by themselves to try to come to grips with this amazing thing that they just witnessed but couldn't possibly understand. But they didn't do any of that. They went to see because they were seekers. Folks, I think that most often joy awaits those who reach out, those who seek. And similarly, I think that very little joy is experienced by folks who are always turned into themselves. They're always thinking about themselves. They're always thinking about their problems, their mistakes, their sadness. Joy comes to seekers. And consequently, I believe one of the most serious problems of our time is the growing tendency to observe rather than to participate, to avoid rather than to engage, to give in rather than to stand up. Many of us no longer hear the distant drummer and move toward it. Instead, we sit down and we try to determine if we recognize the tune. Elizabeth Barrett Browning was on point when she wrote, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Joy is not for the sitters of this world, my friends. Joy is for the seekers. The shepherds found joy first by seeking, and second, by sharing. The shepherds were not merely content just to find the Christ child. They went home to share the story. Good news is always for sharing. I love how the Living Bible states it. It says the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about the child. And all who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment. Friends, the most effective means of getting the good news around has always been by sharing it. It's always been by telling another person the difference that Christ has made in your life. And I promise that by doing so, you'll know joy just like the shepherds did. Years ago, I visited a hospitalized friend who had tried to commit suicide and failed. After a bit, I asked him the inevitable question, "Why did you do it? Why did you do it?" Listen to his answer. "Because everywhere I turn, I am bombarded by gloom and doom. There's no good news anywhere." My friends, that same sense of hopelessness is overwhelming more and more folks each and every day here in Bluffton and elsewhere. We must share the good news of Jesus coming. It is literally a matter of life and death. Mother Teresa was easily the most remarkable woman of the 20th century. She often spoke about the greatness of the poor, the greatness of the poor. To illustrate her meaning, she told about taking some rice to a starving family. As Mother Teresa looked into the faces of the anxious parents and the hollow-eyed children, she handed them the rice. They immediately divided the rice into two parts and ran next door. Mother Teresa asked, "What are you doing?" The woman answered, "Next door, they are hungry also." Sharing. Sharing is one of the roads that leads to joy. My brothers and sisters, we need to find that road. The shepherds found joy, and you'll find it too, by seeking, by sharing, and thirdly, by staying. By staying. The shepherds were active participants in that drama of the birth of Christ. They went to Bethlehem to see, but then they returned to their normal routine to share the good news with everyone. Luke writes, "Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels, and because they'd seen the child, just as the angel had told them." The scriptures call Jesus Emmanuel. The name translates God with us. That means God with us right where we are. Friends, we're going to find our joy by seeking and by sharing and by staying, by digging in right where we are. In a scrawling hand on the flyleaf of his Bible, England's King George V wrote these words. He said, "The secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do." Let those words wash over you. The secret of happiness is not to do what you like to do, but to learn to like what you have to do. Many folks these days think that the best life has to offer is over some distant hill, around the next curve in the road. It's the idea that joy awaits the rootless tumbleweeds who are always trying to run away from their problems. But the truth is this: life requires that we endure, that we persevere, that we dig in where we are, and let Emmanuel make a difference right there. Let me share something with you that I've learned over the years. The routines of our life offer some strength and security simply because they're familiar to us and they are predictable. But those routines and all of their sameness also offer us our best opportunity for seeking and sharing. In fact, I believe our best opportunity for joy comes right where we are. You see, I believe the greenest grass is already under your feet. Quit worrying about your marriage, what it would have been like if you'd married somebody else. Instead, thank God that somebody is willing to put up with you. And then invite Emmanuel to help make the marriage you have the marriage of your dreams. quit worrying about your job. What it would be like if you were working somewhere else for a different boss and for more money. Instead, thank God for the job you've got. And then invite Emmanuel to help make the job you've got the job of your dreams. Friends, you've got to dig in right where you are. We often miss great opportunities by not recognizing the possibilities that are staring us in the face. Many years ago, a farmer hired a young fellow named Jim to work for him during the summertime. He made Jim sleep in the barn at night, but he allowed him to eat with his family at the table during the daytimes. Over the course of the summer, Jim fell in love with the farmer's daughter. The farmer was less than pleased when Jim came to him and asked for his daughter's hand in marriage. In fact, he said to Jim, "Come now. You have no money. You have no prospects. So I'm sorry, I just cannot let you marry my daughter." So when the summer ended, Jim packed his bags and left. The farmer prospered. And 35 years later, the old barn in which Jim had slept was being torn down to make room for a new and a bigger barn. In the process of tearing down that old barn, the farmer discovered that on one of the rafters, Jim had carved his full name, James A. Garfield. By then, Jim was the president of the United States. The farmer had missed the opportunity that was right there before him all those years ago. And why did he miss that opportunity? Because his eyes were fixed on the present reality. And because his eyes were fixed on the present reality, he could not see the future possibilities. And my friends, in the hands of Emmanuel, those future possibilities are limitless. Phillips Brooks was on point when he wrote the third verse of his famous hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." The words are these: how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming. But in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. My friends, Jesus finds us where we are. And when he does, he wants us to receive him into our lives with joy. Many people have never experienced the joy that the presence of the risen Christ can make in their lives. Maybe you're one of them. And maybe you joined us tonight because you're desperately seeking some good news that will bring joy into your life. Well, if that's you, know that this night is especially for you. I pray that like the shepherds, your seeking will be rewarded with a joy unlike any joy you have ever, ever known. A joy that you can't help but share. A joy that will transcend the routine of your life now and transform it forever. Again, hear the angel speaking to you tonight. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have lots of folks here tonight and folks with us online to whom these words are hitting their heart. They're just bumping along. New joy once, but it's eluding them now. Struggling with marriages, struggling with jobs, struggling with relationships with in-laws, struggling with death, with divorce, with despair, with doubts, all kinds of struggles. And consequently, the joy is hard to find. They're looking for it, want it desperately, know what they're missing, but it's just gone like the wind. Lord, we pray for those folks tonight. We know that you are with us, Emmanuel. And we pray that as you are with us, that in some silent kind of way, you'll make your presence known to us and you'll break open the stoned hearts and make your home within us so that sadness would dissipate and joy would prevail this night and forever. O come, Emmanuel, into our lives. Amen. And